Our passage in Mark chapter 14. As you're going there, as our young lady came up and made the announcement about the Christmas boxes, I began to think about some things we used to do with. We used to have Youth Sunday in the churches. Maybe you still do that. And they would do different things. They would take up the offering, or they would be ushers, or they would do music, or give a testimony, as back when Baptists used to do testimonies. And, well, this was Jeff's first time as an usher. He was just a young fella, and he was kind of nervous about it all. And it was his job simply to usher people to their seats, and so he was going to help this lady to her seat, and where she was going to sit, there was someone already sitting there. And his tongue got in front of his eye teeth, and he couldn't see what he was saying. And it turned out like this. He says, "Martin me, Patam, this pie has occupied me. I sew you to another sheet." And so sometimes that happens to us. I didn't know I was going to have such a first-class choir to sing music just before the message that was just going to go right with our message. Thank you so much for that. You really did a good job. I'm very proud of you. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. We begin reading with verse 1. Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And the title of our message is, "She Had Done What She Could." Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away. And the chief priests and the scribes who were seeking how to seize him, that is Jesus, by stealth and kill him, for they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people." While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. And some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish you could do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before the burial. Therefore, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her." A Christian businessman was traveling in Korea. In a field by the side of the road, there was a young man pulling a rude plow with an old man holding the handles. The businessman was mused and took a snapshot of the scene. "I suppose these people are very poor," he said to the missionary, who was interpreter and guide to the party. "Yes," was the quiet reply. "These two men happened to be Christians. When their church was being built, they were eager to give something to it, but they had no money. So they decided to sell their one and only oxen to give to the church. This spring, they're pulling the plow themselves." The businessman was silent for some moments, and he said, "That must have been a real sacrifice." "They did not call it that," said the missionary. They thought themselves fortunate that they had an ox to sell. When the businessman reached home, he took the picture to the pastor and told him all about it. And then he added, "I want to double my giving to the church and do some plow work. Up until now, I have never given anything that involved real sacrifice." This is what our text is about today. It's about the sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice that's supposed to mark the life of every single believer. It's the kind of sacrifice that Paul was talking about in Romans 12:1, where Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Keep in mind that as Paul gave that description of a living sacrifice, he was remembering the Old Testament image where they the farmer would bring a sheep to be offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. He would bring the very best that he had. Probably would have been his best breeding stock. And he would have brought a sheep that had no blemish or stain, one that had no illness or was not crippled. He would have brought the very best that he had. And he would bring that sheep then and hand it to the priest, and he would take his hands off that sheep, never to own it or have control of it again. He would realize that once he had given that sheep, it was no longer his. It is that kind of sacrifice that we see shown to us here today. Here, the context of this is that Jesus is on his way to Calvary. As he goes, a woman expresses the depth of her love and devotion to him by a costly sacrifice. Her labor of love is misunderstood by others, but it's commended by the Lord Jesus. In fact, he tells those around him that she has done all that she could do, and that her sacrifice will be remembered and rehearsed forever. In fact, I'm fulfilling that prophecy right now. Let's look at the passage for a few minutes, and as we do, I want you to consider the thought, she hath done what she could. As we think about the sacrifice she made for the Lord, we need to ask ourselves the questions, have we? Have we done what we could for Him? Have we given all there is to give? Let's look at three areas of sacrifice that showed what she did. First, in the three areas that we need to look at. First, in the area of sacrifice. She broke a container, an ointment, and poured it over his head. The ointment was valued at 300 pence. That was a pence was a day's salary, and so that was nearly a year's worth of wages. Perhaps today might be $15,000 or more. The spikenard was produced from a rare plant that grew in India. It was very expensive, and many people saved it for years to be able to provide this for their own burial. It perhaps had been her dowry. However, this woman, whom we believe to be Mary, as we look at John's passage in John 12, poured it on the head of Jesus. There are two customs that we see here. The first has to do with the breaking of glasses. When a distinguished person ate in a home, often the glass they used was broken to prevent a lesser person from using it after that. This may have been in Mary's mind as she broke the box. Another custom had to do with burial rituals. After the body of the deceased had been washed and anointed, the box that contained the embalming spices was broken and fragments buried with the individual. Perhaps these thoughts were in Mary's mind. I like to imagine that she broke the vessel so that she could pour out every ounce, every drop of ointment for the use of Jesus. Regardless of this, one thing is clear, Mary gave all that she had for His glory. I wonder, have we broken the alabaster box of our life and poured it out, our every drop, for Him? This is the thought that Paul is talking about when he speaks to in 2 Timothy 4:6. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." We need to look at our lives. And we need to ask ourselves if we've given that which is most precious to Jesus. You see, Mary's sacrifice was the ultimate expression of her love and worship for the Lord. She gave all she had. Have we placed everything that we have on the altar for Him? We need to think about this seriously. What have you given to Him, and what have you held back for yourself or for another? Sacrifice is not something we know a whole lot about in this society. Oh, sometimes we think we do. Usually when we think about getting the short end of the stick, it has to do with the IRS or somebody. But the truth of the matter is that when we look at the lifestyle that we live in comparison to the rest of the world, and we look at what we do for Christ and what we give for Him, sacrifice would not be an accurate description of that. This day has changed. I can't remember a time in my life, when I was the age of the children who sang here this morning, when I would have had the electronic things that they had, of course, I wouldn't know what to do with it, and I don't know what to do with it now. But we live in such a different world. There's so many things now that we just must have. There's so many things that we're told on the television and on the internet, well, you just have to have this. Life is just not complete without this. She had one thing of value. One thing of value. Something that she probably was saving for her own burial. And she sacrificed it for Jesus. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we willing to sacrifice for Jesus? What if that meant time? What if that meant money? What if that meant giving one of your children or your grandchildren to be called by God to go to a place that you would never want to go yourself? Avery Willis, who wrote the material that we have in Master Life, was a missionary in Indonesia. You'd think that already being a missionary in Indonesia, that he was already doing all that he could do. And things were at a lull, at a downtime, at a slow time. Missionaries have those, you know. And he was off on a hillside, and he said God spoke to him. He said it wasn't out loud, it was louder than that. And he said, Avery, why won't you let me bless you like I want to? And when Avery said, go ahead, Lord. Whatever it costs, bless me like you want to. He gave him the material for Master Life. I wonder what you and I are missing out on because we're not willing to sacrifice for the Savior. This woman understood that when you have something that's precious to you, you give it to the one who is most precious to you. The second area that we need to consider is in the area of service. Jesus' statement regarding the sacrifice of Mary summed up the depth of her service to him. He simply said that she had done everything that was in her power. The expression could refers to all that she possessed. There were many things that Mary could not do for Jesus, but in anointing him with this costly ointment, she was giving him all that she had. Her service was absolute. When the critics started wagging their tongues, Jesus told them what Mary had done was a response to a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve the Lord. When the opportunity presented itself, Mary took advantage of it and experienced a once-in-a-lifetime blessing. The implication is clear. When the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, that's the time to step up and serve Him. Too often, we miss out on special moments of service to Jesus when we ignore the impulses and leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Bible tells us when it says, do not quench the Spirit. I wonder what you and I have missed out on. When He had some times of service for us, He had some opportunities for us that we said to Him, not now. I can't do that. I can't go there. Let me explain something to you. God's never going to ask you to do something that He doesn't equip you and enable you to do it. But we really don't trust Him that way. If we can't figure it out, if we can't imagine how it can be done, our first response is no. You see, in every church I've never been in a church that had too many people that wanted to serve. I've never had a pastor come to me and say, would you make some of these people go home? They drive me crazy wanting to help around the church. Never had that happen. I've had the opposite happen. But you see, He's saying to us, you have a place of service. Now, I'm discovering that there are a lot of things that I can't do now that I used to could do. My only consolation is I don't remember what they were. But But at every station in life, at every age, at every ability, there's something that God wants to do in service through you, with you, for you, to you, through you, that you'd not thought of. One of the things that Lynn and I carry with us all the time is I carry scripture cards. I just print them out on business card blanks. And it's amazing the response that you get sometimes from people. We were in a restaurant one day here in Odessa. And I left a track, first of all. If you're going to leave a track, leave a decent tip in it. And I'll say, you know, this person could have been a good person, but do it right. And then in that, I had stuffed a scripture card. And as I was walking out of the restaurant, the waitress came chasing after us. I thought maybe I'd left my hat or something. She says, Mister, she says, this paper you gave me says that Jesus loves me. Is that true? I said, it absolutely is. She said, I've had a terrible day today. And I thought nobody loved me. And you told me that Jesus loves me. Now, how long did it take to do that? You passed out a scripture card with arthritis. You can be kind and patient with someone when you don't feel like it. You can be a prayer partner on the telephone with somebody who needs an uplift. You can be a grandma to a child that doesn't have a family that's together. You can be a daddy to a little boy that doesn't have a decent role model in his home. There's so many ways that we can serve him, but he calls on us, what are you willing to do to serve me? And we have to come to that point where we say to him, Lord, if you'll tell me, I'll do it. Now, don't say that if you don't mean it, because he is going to tell you. He is going to give you a place to serve. How many times have we ignored the impulses of the Holy Spirit and missed opportunities to serve the Lord? Until we reach the place where when he speaks, we respond immediately. We will never be doing all that we can for him. What the Lord is seeking are those people who will surrender everything they have, everything they are, and everything they hope to be to the will of God. He's looking for people who will assume the place of servants before him. The last area was the area of surrender. In Christ's day, people did not sit at a table to eat their meals. The tables they used were low to the floor, and people reclined around the table at mealtime. Typically, their heads were near the table while their feet were farther away. This would mean that anyone walking up to a person in such a position would be considerably taller than the person at the table. So it's therefore assumed that Mary would have to assume a kneeling position near Jesus in order to anoint his head with ointment. In one moment of time, Mary was making a statement of surrender. By kneeling to him and anointing him, she was declaring her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She at that moment surrendered all to him. Her act of love and worship also made a big statement concerning who she believed Jesus to be. You see, there were four classes of people who were anointed in those days: kings, priests, prophets, and the dead. She recognized she was ministering to all of those people. I wonder what it would take for us to so humble ourselves before Christ that he would see how much we really love him. We build churches differently now from the way we used to. Some of that's an improvement. I like the cushion myself. I like that we don't have the old benches with the slats in them that would pinch you. I don't miss those. I like that we can have air conditioning and we don't have the windows open for the June bugs to come in or the mosquitoes. But I remember some days of humility that we don't often see. We used to do some strange things, I guess. It seems not so then. But we used to come to prayer meeting and pray. It wasn't another time for the preacher had to do a sermonette for the people had. It was, we came to pray. And we had those old gotcha pews. And we had the windows open with the June bugs coming in. And I remember a lady, a Mrs. McGee. This was in Palmetto, Louisiana. Palmetto is about the size of your fellowship hall. Still a village today. Mrs. McGee spoke only French. She was a good-sized lady, had terrible arthritis, had a hard time walking. She never missed. When it came time to pray, she got out on those old arthritic knees and poured her heart out to Jesus and prayed in French. And we knew that the God we were praying to understood what she was saying and what her needs were. But I saw a kind of humility that I haven't seen among God's people in a very long time. What would happen? What would happen at Chapel Hill Baptist Church if we had a Sunday when everyone came? That'd be a good start. If we had a Sunday when the movement of God's Spirit got a hold of things, got a hold of us, and made some of us move that haven't moved since Hector was a pup. And He so spoke to our hearts and lives that we began to come and kneel before Him. I tell people my age, when you come today, if it's time for the invitation, whatnot, and you need to come and do business with God, and your old knees won't let you get down, we let you sit on the front row. God honors that. But what if something happened one Sunday, and the Spirit of God moved among God's people, and He said, this is your opportunity today. Need I remind you that there are people in the newspaper this morning who will not have that opportunity again? They're in the obits. There are some who we may not have next Sunday. There are some opportunities that may pass us today. God may cross your path with someone today that needs a kind word, that needs a little extra dose of patience and something from the Word of God that make a difference in their life. What if God came in that kind of power and His people yielded to the opportunity that He was giving them, and they came to say like Abraham, Lord, whatever it is you want to do, I'm here. I want to tell you something. They'd have to build a taller steeple for the light that this church would shine all over this city. Because you see, He's still waiting. You see, this lady was not a politician. She was not a queen. She didn't run a big business. She was an humble servant of God who simply gave everything that she had to Jesus. What if that happened for you and me this morning? What if we honestly came before Him and said, Jesus, you know that thing that I was fixing to buy? That trip I was fixing to take? That car I was going to trade, That bass boat I've been thinking about buying, that high-dollar deer rifle. Lord, what about if I set those things aside and ask you what you want me to do with those opportunities and those resources? Something could happen here that maybe you've not seen in a very long time. One of the things that we saw in the life of Mary is who Jesus was to her. If I asked Brother Jeff to sing as invitation this morning, I surrender a little bit. You say, "Preacher, what's the matter with you?" That's not the way the song goes. But that's the way the people go. Suppose we came clean with Jesus this morning. And the next time we sang, "I surrender all," we really meant that. This morning, Jesus is saying to us, "I'd just like for you to do what this woman did. I'd like for you to do what you can." Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the only thing you can do now is to come to Him and confess to Him that you're a sinner, that it's an incurable, eternal disease. You can't do anything about it except come and confess it to Him and repent of your sin and ask Him to come into your heart and life and be the boss of your life from now on. He doesn't have a part-time program or weekend program, sorry. It's everything and nothing. That's the way Calvary was. But my guess is that maybe it's time for us to re-up our membership. Renew our commitment. Say to Him, "Jesus, help me this morning not to keep anything back from You, but to do everything I can for You in the area of sacrifice, in the area of service, and in everything that You want me to do to show that You're my Lord." As we stand for our invitation hymn, this is our opportunity that He was talking about. This is the opportunity that we have to be obedient to Him. As you stand to sing, let me ask you to just take a moment. We're going to take just a moment before we start singing, Jeff. And I want us just to bow our heads and close our eyes. And could we just talk to Jesus individually? Say, "Jesus, You didn't ask me to check on everybody else's business here this morning. You just asked me to do business with You for myself. And I really do want to surrender all. Help me to know what I'm holding back from You that You want. It may be time, it may be money, it may be allegiance, it may be love, it may be commitment, but whatever it is, in just a few moments of prayer together, if you would just talk with Him about that, and then Jeff will come lead us in our music."